All right, good morning, everyone. So let's begin. So today is Kuf Lamed Ches. Kuf Lamed Ches, but we're going to begin. Kedar Kino Bekodesh. Add the last two lines of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. V'chachamim Amud. So remember again, the Mishnah began with the interesting discussion about whether or not you can go ahead and spread out the Mishmeres, this seed that's there to go ahead and drain the dregs from the wine. You're right, you're putting this over the container which collects the wine. So the Chachamim said that you can't do it. Chachamim said two things. Number one, ain't holiness ha-mishmeres b'yom tov. You cannot set up this strainer on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, excuse me. And even if it's already set up on Shabbos, you can't pour it in there on Shabbos. But for Yom Tov, if it's already set up, you can go ahead and put it in there. So the Gemara, when I say put it in there, I mean drain the wine through it. She's the more technical term. V'chachamum. So the Gemara says, Iboilehu, talamai. So the Gemara asks, well, right, what happens if he did it? Right? What happens if he did it? So the Chachamim say, you shouldn't go ahead and set up this sieve on Yom Tov. Let's say you did it. What are you chayiv for? Amar Rav Yosef, talo chayiv chatos. Rav Yosef says, if you go ahead and you set up a sieve on Yom Tov, you're chayiv chatos. Right? Isidoraisa. Amar Le Abaye. Sabai says to Rav Yosef, if that's the case, if a person goes ahead and hangs up a jug on a peg, is he also chayiv midaraisa? Rav Sabai is using an exaggerated example. Obviously, everyone agrees that if you hang up a jug on a peg, you're not going to be chayiv achatos, you're not going to be chayiv midaraisa. Sabai is essentially saying to Rav Yosef, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. For hanging up a sieve, going to be chayiv in Isra Daraisa. Hanging up a sieve should be no more also than hanging up a jug on a peg on Yom Tov. El Amr Abaye, therefore Abaye says, no, midirabanani. Midirabanani, shalav yaseh b'kiderach shu'oseh b'chol. Therefore Abaye says, no, it is not in Isra Daraisa. Rather, what is the issue over here? I will say what we call uvdo d'chol. Uvdo d'chol means that we try to go ahead and refrain from engaging in weekday-like activities. Now, we'll have to see what the scope of that is. Because where do you draw the line as to what's a weekday activity that's usher, what's a weekday activity that's mutter? So that we'll see. But Abaye says the idea of setting up the sieve is uvda d'chol, is a weekday activity, and therefore halacha l'maaseh, it's usher, but says Abaye that only creates an isur d'rabbanon, not an isur d'oraisa. Man kit Abaye, chumrei mas nisa. Sabai was once collecting all of the principles laid out in various brisos, v'tani, and he taught the following halacha: Hagud v'hamishameres kila v'kisei galen. If you have a good is a leather bag. Now Rashi points out over here that the good, more than a leather bag, was more like a skin, which they carried either wine or milk. So the idea with the good is actually very interesting. Is at night when they would camp, when they would get set up camp, they would open up the good. They would spread open the opening of the good to allow circulation of air. And the circulation of air kept the liquid from becoming, from spoiling. So the Gemara says over here, kila is a canopy, and kisei galin. So we'll see this interesting liquid fracture. So the kisei galin is kimo mita gilal nisa, the kira, behushe makum. So galin is the name of a place. So what's a galin chair? So apparently a galen chair was a chair that was made of parts, and they would often disassemble and reassemble it. So therefore, Abaye said the following: so the good, this leather bag that's open that can form a canopy-like covering, right? Then the good, the mishameres, the seed, the kila, the canopy, and the kisei galen lo yaseh. You should not make any of these items on Shabbos. Rashi points out over here, lo yase, why? The ohel arayinu. Because all of these have the status of as a temporary ohel. However, v'im asa potter. But if you did it, you're potter. Okay. Aval asa. So Rabbi says, potter aval asa. Meaning, potter aval asa means asa midrabana. However, ohel ekeva, if you create a permanent tent, lo yase, you should not do the imasa, but if you did it, chayiv chatos, you chayiv midoraisa. Ava mita, a bed, the kisei trasko is a folding chair. The asla is a toilet seat. Mutter lintosin lechatchila. You can go ahead and create this lechatchila. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, aval mita shalana mechaberes v'omed. So we'll say all of these items are things that pretty much already exist. So the bed that he's talking about over here is not a bed of parts, it's a bed that already exists. The trestle, the folding chair, is made to be opened and closed. The asla, the toilet seat, same thing. So all of these things have no din even of an ohel arai, and therefore are permitted to do a lechatchila.
Why the same for a folding table?
Well, correct. Folding table, we'll see why there's another reason why it's going to be okay. Actually, the Gemara actually explicitly discussed that case. So remember, according to the Chachamim, that if the mishameres, if the sieve was already set up before Shabbos, nevertheless on Shabbos you may not pour wine into it. So the Gemara says the following: Iboy luhu. So the Gemara says kasha. Iboy luhu. Shimer mai. What happens if you did it? Right. So what happens if you went ahead and you actually poured the dregs of wine? You poured the wine through the strainer. What is your level of liability on Shabbos? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Shimer Chayiv Chatos. Rav Kahana says, Chay Midoraisa. Maskif la Rav Sheshes, Mi Ika Midi, Drabonon Mechaybe Chatos, Rabbi Eliezer Shari Lechatchila. So also, here's what's interesting. So you have the following. So according to what the Gemara is suggesting over here, is that when the Rabbanon say you're chayiv in the Mishnah, remember this is if you already set up the sieve before Shabbos, now you're pouring the wine into it on Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to suggest that when the Rabbanon say that you're not allowed to do it, if you did it, you're chayiv achatas midoraisa. Now, Rabbosa, remember, Rabbi Eliezer permits this. So the Gemara says, is it possible that there's literally a machlok, it's literally a situation where Chachamim will say that something is asim midoraisa, and Rabbi Eliezer says that it's totally mutter? So we'll say, normally the Gemara is saying is like this, when you have a machlokes, so machlokes usually would be what? If the Chacham says asim midoraisa, Rabbi Eliezer would say what? It's asim midrabanan. But to think that the Chacham is saying that it's asim midoraisa, and Rabbi Eliezer says mutter lechatchila, is such an incredible jump. So the Gemara says, maskef la Rabbi Yosef, alama, why not? Alamala, why not? Hare ir shel zahav. What about the case of ir shel zahav? So also remember, we had this case before. The ir shel zahav was a special golden, it wasn't really a brooch, women would actually wear it in their hair. In other words, a brooch or a hair ornament, this special golden ornament. So Rabbi Meir mechayiv chatos, Rabbi Meir says if you wear it out on Shabbos, you are chayiv chatos, but Rabbi Eliezer shari lechatchila. And yet Rabbi Eliezer allows it lechatchila. So the Gemara says, Maihi, what's the case of ir shel zahav? The Sanya, the Braisa says, lo teitzei isha b'ir shel zahav. A woman should not go out on Shabbos with an ir shel zahav, with this golden Yerushalayim. V'im yatza, and if she went out with it, chayeves chatos divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says she's chayeves chatos. Chayeves chatos. Look at Rashi. Chayeves chatos. Why? Delav tachshitu ela masui. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that an ir shel zahav, this golden brooch, is not considered to be a tachshit, is not considered to be an ornament, rather is considered to be a masui. Is considered to be something that's carried, right? It's not a piece of jewelry. It's simply something. Therefore, according to the Meir, if she goes out with it on Shabbos, chayiv chatos. The Chachamim say, lo teitzei. She should not go out with it on Shabbos. Ve'im yatza petura. But if she went ahead and she went out with it, she's petura. Look at Rashi. Potter, the tachshitu. See, according to the Chachamim, on the other hand, the Chachamim say that she should not go out with it on Shabbos. But if she did, she's p'tura de tachshitu, ulechatchila aser, dilma sholfa umachuya. So what's interesting enough, what the Chacham are concerned about is the following. The Chachamim say, lechatchila she can wear it out on Shabbos. Excuse me. Lechatchila she should not wear it out on Shabbos. Why? What are we concerned about? We're concerned that her friend is going to compliment the ir shel zahav. And what is she going to do? She's going to take it off and show it to her friend and end up carrying it on Shabbos. So that for Chacham saying lechatchila, she should not go ahead and wear it out on Shabbos. But b'di'evet, if she did, she's not chayeves for anything. She's probably p'tura. P'tura. Now, I will say again, normally p'tura means what? P'tura normally means that she's asim d'rabbana. Right? She's part of d'raisa, asim d'rabbana. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yotze isha b'ir shel zahav lechatchila. Rabbi Eliezer goes so far to say what? That halacha l'maisa, a woman can even lechatchila go ahead and wear out an ir shel zahav. Look at Rashi. Yotze isha, deman darka l'mefet b'ir shel zahav, isha chashuva. Rabbi Eliezer's position is like this. It was like, a Yerushalayim shel zahav, an ir shel zahav, was not like stama piece of jewelry. It was a very chashuv piece of jewelry. Very chashuv. So who would go out to the Ir Shel Zav? An isha chashuv, an important woman. The isha chashuva lo shava machya. And important women don't start taking off their jewelry in public to show their friends. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds that halacha lemaisa lechatchila you can wear an Ir Shel Zav. So we'll say, why is the Gemara bringing this down? Because remember, the Gemara wanted to say before, remember in the Mishnah, we're trying to figure out what is the halachic liability if one indeed pours the wine through the strainer on Shabbos. So Rav Kahana wanted to say that according to Rabban, you're literally chayv midoraisa, which would then mean that Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is saying that you're totally potter, not even asr midrabban. The Gemara wanted to say, can it really be that if the Chum says something is an isidoraisa, Rabbi Eliezer is really going to say that it's mutter lechatchila? To which the Gemara says, yes, we actually have precedent for that, because look at the case of Ir Shel Zav. In the case of Ir Shel Zav, the Chachamim say it's asr midoraisa for a woman to go out with this golden ornament, because the Chum says mamish is a masui. It's a burden, it's not a tachshit. Rabbi Eliezer says, what? It's mutter lechatchila, because who wears, he holds it a tachshit, and it's an isha chashuv, and a poor woman wears this tachshit, and isha chashuv doesn't take off her jewelry to show her friends. So you see over here that you can have a situation where the Chacham say asr midoraisa, and Rabbi Eliezer says mutl chatchila, to which the Gemara says, no. Amalei Abaye, mi savis Rabbi Eliezer ad Rabbi Meir koi, damar chayeves chatos, ad Rabbanan koi, the amri pater aval asr. So I will say, the Gemara Abaye is something very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer is not talking to Rabbi Meir, who holds that it's asr midoraisa. Rabbi Eliezer is talking to the Rabbanan, who holds pater aval asr. So he's saying, you Rabbanan who hold that it's asr midrabbanan, I hold that it's mutter lechatchila. See, his machlokis is not really with Rabbi Meir, his machlokis is with the Rabbanan. So what the Gemara is just pointing out over here is, this case is different because there is an in-between shita. Once there's an in-between shita, that middle of the road shita can be argued on from both ends of the spectrum. But in this case over here, the way you're setting up the Mishnah is that literally, according to the Chum, it's asr midoraisa, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's mutter lechatchila, which would be just be a strange machlokes. So the Gemara says, Ad Rabbanan kai, Dami pata aval asr, Va'amr lehu, and Rabbi Eliezer would say to them, Va'amr lehu ihu mutter lechatchila. Fine. So the Gemara says, Mishum mai masrinan be. So here's the interesting question. So remember, in order to be chayiv, if you go with this idea, that indeed one who pours the wine through the strainer will be chayiv midoraisa, we know that in order to go ahead and be chayiv midoraisa, you need hasra. You need to be warned. Right now, what does warning mean? So warning means that, again, in front of two witnesses, but more specifically, warning is that you are told that the act that you are about to do is a violation of a particular malacha. So the Gemara wants to know, if we were to warn him before he was doing it, what malacha would we tell him that he is about to transgress? So the Gemara says, Rabba Amar Mishum Borer. Rabba says, Borer. Separating, right? After all, again, you're separating the wine from the dregs. Rabbi Zera Amar Mishum Merakid. Rabbi Zera says, Sifting. Amar Rav, so we'll say, remember, what's interesting is the following. Borer and Sifting and Merakid pretty much are the same type of malacha. Each has to do with separating the item that you want from the impurities. We'll see the fundamental distinction between them. So the Gemara says, Rabba says, I think I'm right. Rabba says, Borer. Why? Ma darko shel Borer. Because when you do Borer, what happens? No tel ochel, you take away the food. Umaniyach ha-psoles. And the psoles, right, the stuff you don't want, is left behind. Av hachinami, no tel es ha'ochel, umaniyach ha-psoles. So to hear what's happening, Rabbosai, when you pour the wine goes into the barrel, and what's left behind, what's held back? The dregs, which seem like borer. Am Rabbi Zera, kavasi didi mistabra. Rabbi Zera says, I think I'm right. Rabbi Zera says, merakid, why? Ma'adarko shel merakid. When you sift something, the impurities remain on top, and the food goes to the bottom. So too over here, right, when you pour the wine through the strainer, through the sieve, so the dregs remain on top, and the wine remains on the bottom. Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel. So I will say again, halacha l'maaseh, that remains as a machlokes, as to what malacha would you be transgressing were you to go ahead and pour the wine through the sieve. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara now goes back to the subject of Ohel Arai, of temporary structures. So Tanya Rami Bar Yechezkel, Talis Kfula Lo Yaseh. You should not make a structure of a Talis Kfula literally means a doubled over Talis. Now what's the Pshat? Look at Rashi over here. Talis Kfula Lo Yaseh. Lishtoach Talis Al Gabe Abri Yisedos. So if you can imagine the following situation, let's say you have four poles. You should not spread your Talis over those poles. Lishon Tachta. So for example, why would you be doing this? You wanna take a Shabbos nap, but it's very sunny. Right? So what do? You take your talis, you spread it over four poles, and then you have a nice little tent to sleep in. The Rasha of Miskaplin, Lakan Ulakan. When it says it's doubled over, what it means is that the sides of the talis hang over the sides of the poles. So it's not just the roof, but it's a roof also with some walls. So the Rasha of Miskaplin, Lakan Ulakan, Litzada Aris, the Havi Lake Sullen, and the sides of the talis become walls. Since he comes in Ohel. So therefore the Gemara says you shouldn't drape your talis over four poles on Shabbos, because in essence you are making an Ohel, you're making a structure. Vim Asa, but if you did it, Pater Aval Asa, if you did it, it's Asa Midrabanan, right? Why Rabbi said? Because again, obviously it's not a permanent Ohel, it's an Ohel Arai, and therefore you're Chayiv Midrabanan. Fine. However, Haya Karuch Alechut Umashicha Mutlin Tos Lechatkila. But if before Shabbos your talis was tied to the poles, either through a chut or meshicha, either through some type of thread or rope, then what? Then you are permitted to go ahead and pull the talis onto the poles. L'chatchil, look at Rashi, chut or meshicha. Rashi says v'nasna ala nas sha'ala kinuv kishim chupeles v'karich ala chut l'mashcha bo l'parsa l'kano l'kan. Mutter la moshcha b'shabes de mosif alol arayhu veina kos lechatzkila. So we'll say if the talis was already attached to the poles before Shabbos, then it's as if the ohel arayi already somewhat exists. And as we've already seen, adding onto an ohel arayi, adding onto a temporary structure on Shabbos, is not prohibited. Is not prohibited. Okay. Ba'a minei Rav Kahana me Rav. Rav Kahana asked the following question from Rav. Kila mahu. So he asks, what about a kilo? What about a canopy? What about a canopy? Kila mahu. Amalei. So the answer is going to be very confusing, but then we're going to go ahead and explain it. So listen to this. So he says, I'm sorry.
What's the difference between a canopy and a talus?
What's the difference between a canopy and a talus?
And the talus that you described before, just now.
Well, we didn't see that loch with the canopy yet.
What's the difference physically?
Same idea. So the Gemara says, Kila mahu, what's halach with the canopy? Amarle, af mita asura, even a mita is asura. The only fundamental difference is that a canopy is only to be used for that purpose, right? As opposed to a talis, which really is not designated for that purpose. So there's even a greater ohel arai identity to a talis than there is to a canopy. So listen, Rav says, so follow this answer for just a moment, then we'll explain it. So remember, Rav kind of asked him, Rav, what's the halacha with the canopy? Amarle, ach mita asura, even a bed is asur. Mita mahu, what's the halacha of a bed? Amarle, ach kilo muteres, even a canopy is muter. Kilo mita mahu, what's the halacha of a bed and a canopy, or a canopy and a bed? Amarle, kila asura umita muteres. Right, the kila is asur, the canopy is asur, and the bed is muter. What is going on over here? Velo kashya. It's not a contradiction. Listen to this. Hadika Amar af mita asura. When Rav said that even the bed is asur, kide karmanoi. That's like the karmanoi in bed. What's the karmanoi in bed? Look at Rashi. Hayu gilalanisa sheparka umachzira. This is talking about a bed made of parts, and people would often disassemble and reassemble them. Bahu shein makom loshon acher karmanoi. Mochre big day kishtan mochre alein. Fine. So what's a karami in bed? A karami in bed was a bed of parts, and they would go ahead and reassemble it. Reassembling this type of bed on Shabbos would be problematic. Hadika amar le af kila muteres. When we said that even a canopy is muter, to even spread out a canopy is muter. What's that? Kedrami bar Yecheskel. That was talking about Rami bar Yecheskel. What did Rami bar Yecheskel say? Rami bar Yecheskel said before by the talis case that if let's say the talis was already attached to the poles before Shabbos, then what? That's considered to be already like an existing Ohel Arai. And when you spread out the rest of the Talos, it's just Kemosif al Ohel Arai on Shabbos, which is permitted. So therefore, again, the canopy that's Motor on Shabbos is a canopy that's already attached to the poles. So the Gemara says, Gemara Rechezkel, Kila Asura Umita Muteres. What's the case of a forbidden canopy but a permitted bed? Kididon. That's like our canopies and our beds. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kididon. Misa Shahaisa Zakufa. That's talking about a bed that was already standing. Vuhumo Shiva Araglah. Rabbi will say, what is that talking about? That's talking about a bed, let's say, that was on its side, that you stand upright. Rabbi will say, one might have thought that I, even standing a bed upright, maybe is the creation of an ohel. After all, because what have you done? There's a space underneath the bed. Kamash Malat, remember, since a person doesn't really use the space under the bed, at least for domicile purposes, therefore, again, the bed is used to be made on top. Therefore, the turning the bed upright is not considered to be the creation of an ohel, as opposed to, let's say, just stop putting up of a canopy, which would be a din of an ohel. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said the following. Chazinu lehu, I saw l'kili debei Rav Huna, the canopy in the house of Rav Huna. Listen to this. The me'orta negidu, at night it was spread out, umetzafra chavita ramya, and in the morning it was thrown to the ground. Which means what, Rabbi Osai? That halacha l'maisa, at night it was up, and in the morning it was down. Which means that someone took it down in the morning. Which he's saying is that apparently, again, this type of canopy was permitted to put up and permitted to take down. Amarav mishum Rabbi Chiya, vilon mutr lintosa, umutr leparka. You could put up a curtain on Shabbos, and you could take down a curtain on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Vilon masach shekineged ha-pesach. This was often, so people would hang a curtain at the entranceway. At the end, it was a door. So you could put up a curtain and take down a curtain. Rashi says, mutr lintosa, she'ein ohel, because there's no din of ohel. There's no din of ohel if you put up a curtain. Av ela mi she'yeh she'asui ke'ein gag. Both as we're going to see, in order to be considered to be an ohel arai, even a temporary ohel, you have to have a roof and you have to have walls. So because again the vilon, because the curtain is just something you just stamp put up, therefore halacha lemaisa had chay for that on Shabbos. Va'amar Shmuel,
isn't our umbrella the same as the palace that's already pre-attached?
No, what's no part of it that's open? What's open? Yeah.
But it's pre-attached.
Pre-attached to what? It's not attached to a structure. That's the whole idea. When the talus is attached to the poles, then halacha lemaisa is yours attached to the structure. The umbrella is not attached to a structure.
You can't consider the materials attached to the structure.
That's not a structure. That's not a structure. So it says the Gemara, Va'amr Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Shmuel Sabnei Rabbi Chiya. Kilas chasanim mutr lintosa. You can open up a kilas chasanim. Now, kilas chasanim, Rabbi Osai, is something very interesting. And by the way, the simple answer is we actually don't pass it that way. We actually don't pass it that even if the talus was attached to the poles, we don't allow you to go ahead and turn it up on Shabbos. So the Gemara says it's kilas chasanim. So kilas chasanim is a bridal canopy. A bridal canopy. Rashi says, lo damya l'shar kilos. So you're permitted to go ahead and open up a kilas chasanim on Shabbos. Why? Mutl tosa, mutl parka. You can open it up and you can take it down. And Rashi points out over here, why is that? Lo dami l'shar kilos, sheshar kilos prusos agabe kinov shuhu l'dal regalim, v'yesh l'gag, dahavi ohel, v'shal chasanim agabe naklitin she'inan elashnai b'emtsois hamita, v'kana nosun alein, v'abege nosun ala v'nosin l'kan u'l'kan, v'in l'gag. So what's like? Under normal circumstances, to create a canopy on a bed is problematic on Shabbos. But a bridal canopy is okay. Why? Because a bridal canopy was made a little bit different. A normal canopy, you had four poles, and you put the fabric on top of the poles. That's mamish and ohel. Mamish and ohel. And it has a roof. The idea of the bridal canopy is the bridal canopy came to a point. It came to an apex. So because we're going to see that because it came to an apex, and something is only considered to be an ohel, if it has at least one amma, a flat roof space on top. But because the bridal canopy simply comes to a point, therefore halacha l'maaseh doesn't have the status of an ohel, and therefore you could put it up or take it down on Shabbos. So that would be technically. Amar of Sheshes Breid Ravidi. So right? Amar of Sheshes Breid Ravidi. So Sheshes Breid Ravidi says, well, so remember, everybody hold your horses, nobody's pitching a tent yet on Shabbos, all right? Because obviously we're going to qualify this. So the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshes Breid Ravidi, lo amran elo she'in begago tefach. This is only talking about where there's not a tefach in the gag. Now we're going to see what this means. She'in begago tefach, aval yesh begago tefach asura. So I say, obviously, it's only talking about, as you just mentioned, where there's not a tefach of flat space in the gag. But if there's a tefach of flat space in the gag, then it's asur. Furthermore, v'chi'in begago tefach, if there's not a tefach in the gag, nami lo amran, it's still only mutter when, ela she'in bepachos mishlosha samuch legago. Well, this is actually interesting. Pachos mishlosha samuch legago means that there's not a tefach of space within three tefachim of the tip. So meaning, again, that even if it ends off at a point, if there's a tefach of space, you could go across the tefach within three tefachim of the top, that's also considered to be a problematic ohel on Shabbos as well. But even if the roof doesn't have a tefach, but again, there's a tefach of space within three tefachim of the top of the tent, then Allah HaMaisar also be asr. Velo omron ela she'ein b'shipua tefach. Furthermore, this is only if there's not a tefach of space beneath the slope. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach. Shipua ohalim ko'alim dami. But if there is a tefach of space beneath the slope, then the slope of the tent is considered to be like the tent as well. Velo omron, ela delo nachis mi purya tefach. Furthermore, this is only true if the actual fabric, we'll call it the canopy-like fabric, does not extend beneath the bed a tefach. But if it extends beneath the bed a tefach, then that is usur as well. So we'll say, halach l'mais, what the Gemara is saying is, as much as the Gemara made it sound simple, to begin with, that it's only a tefach of space. You see, it's not true. Even if there's a tefach within three tefachim of the top, that constitutes an ohel, which would usually preclude one from pitching the tent on Shabbos, because you do have a tefach of space within three tefachim of the top. Even if halach lais comes to a straight point, or if there's a tefach of space again at the base of the slope, or again, this last qualification only applies at the bed situation, where the fabric of the ohel extends beneath the bed. So if it extends beneath the bed of tefach, then again, even if it didn't have any of those other qualifications, it doesn't have a tefach on the top, it doesn't have a tefach within three, and it doesn't have a tefach at the base of the slope. Tefach at the base of the slope means that there's a tefach going in from each side, from each base of the slope, which would obviously be a very narrow tent to begin with, a very narrow tent. I guess you could use it if you're on your side. I guess that's all right, whatever it is. It has to have some basic narrow area. But again, on the bed case, even if it didn't have any of that, but it extended downward past the bed as well, that would constitute an ohel. Bottom line is, don't do it. Just don't do it on Shabbos. Whatever it is. Amar Rav Sheshes, Reid Rav Yidi. So, Rosa, a very interesting case here as well. Rav Sheshes, Reid Rav Yidi. Hai si'ana shari. You can wear a siana. Now, what's a siana? Rashi says, kova shel levad. A felt hat. A felt hat. I see, you see, it's a mefurish rai in the Gemara. Mefurish rai in the Gemara. That you have to wear a hat. That's amazing what you find in the Gemara. Right, so this, we'll see what this felt hat is, very interesting. So you can wear this felt hat on Shabbos. Right, that's right, that's right. So the Gemara says, v'ho itmar siyana aser. But we learned elsewhere that the hat is aser. Right, that's how you found it. Right? The hat is aser. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. This is actually very interesting. Not a kasha. Ha di ispe tefach. One is where the brim of the hat is a tefach. One is where the brim of the hat is not a tefach. The Rabbi said, listen to this. The Rashi, now we're assuming right now that what's the issue? The issue over here is the following. Look at Rashi. Hadi is be tefach. Shum ispashet lahalon merosho tefach. Asr mishum ohala. Now the interesting part is right now we're assuming that the issue of wearing a wide-brimmed hat on Shabbos is a din of ohel. So the Gemara says, so it's not a contradiction in the Braisos. When the brim is a tefach or more, then there's a problem of ohel. If the brim is a tefach or is less than a tefach, no problem of ohel. As much as 1 second. If that's the case, elame ato, sharviv biglima tefach, hachanami dinachayiv. So the Gemara has a very interesting question. So now what you're telling me is, if you hold something over your head, a tefach, that's a problem of ohel. So let me get this straight. Let's say it's raining, and I want to take my coat, and I want to hold my coat over my head, and I'm going to extend it a tefach. Is that also a problem? of Ohel? So we'll say the Gemara understands that, of course, it's not. It's not. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, if a person puts his talis on his head, in the way that he normally wears it, and I will say here, Rashi qualifies this case. He's, let's say I take my cloak. See, the cloak is not a good example. Rashi says, I take my cloak, which is normally worn over my head, right? The people would wear their cloak. It wasn't uncommon for a person to wear their cloak. It was got cold. I put my cloak over my head. Now I extend it a little bit further so I don't get wet from the rain. You're going to tell me now that that's a din of ohel? Someone says, of course not. Well, if it's not a din of ohel, what the Gemara is essentially saying is, there's no din of ohel with something that you wear. If there's no din of ohel with something that you wear, then how do you understand what's the problem with the hat? Ela lo kashya. Gemara says, you're right. The hat is not an issue of ohel. What's the issue? Hadimahadik, hadalomahadik. One is one, the, right, with the, when the Bryce says that the hat is mutter, that's where the hat fits snugly on your head. The other case is where the hat does not fit snugly on your head. What's the shot? What are we concerned about over here? He says, look at the Gemara. Ela, taima lav mishum ohel. The issue of the hat is not an issue of ohel, because as we just said before, there's no din ohel with things that you wear. Ela, I'm sorry, lav mishum ohelu. Ela mishum shelo yagbienu haruach merosho. What's the issue over here? The issue over here is we're concerned about the wind pulling the hat off your head. There's a concern here that essentially if you are not wearing a correctly fitting hat, that it's probable that the wind is going to blow it off, and if the wind blows it off, you may come to carry it in Rosh Sarabim. Hilchoch. Therefore, the Gemara says, that's the Braisa means. When the Braisa says that the hat is mutter, that's a good fitting hat. When the Braisa says that the hat is usser, that is a hat that's too big. And in that case, there's a concern that it's going to blow off, and you may come to carry it, but not a din of ohel. Jose, just so you should know, just kind of carrying on Howard's question before, that's why we'll actually get into it. You know, you ever see those umbrella hats?
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be an interesting discussion in halacha, right? Because there again, what the Gemara is clearly saying is that a clothing, as much as again, that wide brimmed hat can effectively serve as an all for me, but garments don't have a din of ohel. We'll see if it applies to the umbrella hat or not.
So,
I'm sorry. Well, you can't carry it. You can't get it. But the assumption is that your yarmulke is something that sits on your body, where there's not a concern. There's not a concern. The assumption is it sits there. It sits there. I have to get a bigger one. I am shooting for Shirai for a bigger Gemara. That's it. So the Gemara says the following: Shalach li Roy Bar Yecheskel Rafuna. Roy Bar Yecheskel said Rafuna. Eima lon easy. Hanach ma'al yasa da amrat lon mishmei derav. So Roy Bar Yecheskel said Rafuna. Tell us, my friend, some good teachings that you heard in the name of Rav. Tarti b'Shabbos, two rulings on Shabbos. The Chad b'Torah, one about Torah in general. Sholach leif. So Rav Huna said the following. Sholach leif, hod desanyo. Good bikisno, mutter lintosa b'Shabbos. So if you have a good, remember, good is a leather bag. Good bikisno. So if you go out, you can hang up your leather bag on its straps on Shabbos. So good bikisno, mutter lintosa b'Shabbos. Omer Rav, but Rav qualified this ruling and he said, Lo shano elo babeis b'nei adam. When is that true that you can hang up the leather bag? Remember, we said this good is not just a bag, but this good is really a skin, right? It was a skin that was used to transport liquids. And remember, very often, as we spoke at earlier, they would open up the mouth of the bag very wide to allow circulation of air so that the contents of the bag would not spoil. So Rav said that you could only hang it up on Shabbos with two people. Ava ba'adam echad aser. But for one person to hang it up would be Asur. Rashi says, what's going on over here? The Beis B'nei Adam, lo mimtach le'shapir. Because again, when two people hang it up, they don't really stretch it out all that much. But Ba'adam Echad, Rashi says, one person, mamtich le'shapir, stretches it out significantly. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh says, an issue of ohel arai. So, Amr Abaye, v'kila afilu biyud b'nei Adam, Asur. And when it comes to, I'm sorry. Said the kila when it comes to the canopy, afilu biyud bnei adam efshar. Yeah, aser. Even if 10 people go ahead and hang it up together, it's aser. Why? Efshar dlo mimtucha porta. Because by definition, the canopy always gets straightened out, and therefore halacha lemaisa again, it is an issue of ohel arai. Idach mai, what's this other statement of Rav? Remember again, I'll say, just remember the discourse over here. Rami Bar Yecheskel was asking Rav Huna to please tell him over some teachings that he got from Rav, specifically two teachings about Shabbos and one teaching about Torah in general. What was the second teaching from Rav? Idach mai hi. Desanya kira shenishmata achas miyakosel mutr letaltala. If you have a kira, kira is a stove, let's say one of the feet of the stove became detached, you could still go ahead and move it on Shabbos. Rabbi said the idea would be that a kira, a stove, is a klisha malachta le'isr, so you could, let's say, move it if you need the space that it occupies. See, even if one of the legs came off, the kira is still considered to be a usable utensil, and therefore the ma'isa can be moved if you need the space. However, shtayim, but if two legs of the kira came off, asr, then you may not move it. Why? Because essentially, once two legs of the kira come off, it's no longer usable. Once it's no longer usable, it no longer has the status of a kli. Once it no longer has the status of a kli, it's effectively, it's mukta. Meaning, but more than mukta, once it doesn't have the status of a kli, you can't even use it, you can't even move it. Rav said, on the other hand, afilu chad nami asr. Rav said, even if the kira is missing one leg, you still can't move it on Shabbos. Why? Gezera shema yitaka. There was a concern that maybe you will come to go ahead and re-affix the leg to the stove on Shabbos. Torah. What was this teaching about Torah that Rav said? The Amar Rav. Asi de Torah shetishtachach mi Yisrael. In the future, the Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shene emar. Vehifla Hashem es makoscha. God will, Rabbi Yisrael, will see hifla. Hifla means God will make your afflictions extraordinary, like a pella. Will amplify, make your afflictions extraordinary. Hafla azu, eni yodei amahu. I don't know what this pella that the pasuk is referring to. Ki yeshu omer, and the pasuk says, however, lachin hinini Yosef, lahafli es ha'amazeh, hafle vafela, have omer hafla azu Torah. So therefore, the Navi says later on in Yeshaya, that I will go ahead and add on, lahafli es ha'amazeh, hafle vafela, I will deal this nation in extraordinary circumstances. This Pella is Torah. So therefore, again, the Gemara is going to explain it just a little bit, but the Gemara now is suggesting, God will make your afflictions extraordinary, that in addition to all the suffering, that ultimately we will forget Torah as well. When the rabbis entered into the Kerem, literally the vineyard in Yavne, Rashi points out over here, Kerem B'Yavne is a reference to the yeshiva in Yavne. And Rashi points out over here the following idea, Bikarem Ashim Sha Yoshim Shuros Shuros Kikarem. That the way that the yeshiva was arranged is that the students sat in rows, just like a vineyard. So they called the yeshiva Kerem Biavna. Amru, and they said, Asida Torah Shetishtachach Mi Yisrael. Torah in the future will be forgotten from the Jewish people. Shene Emar, Hine Yomim Ba'im Ne'um Hashem. The days are coming. There'll be a famine in the land. We'll say this is speaking about the pre-messianic era. And what's going to happen in the pre-messianic era? There'll be a famine. Lo rav lo lechem. It won't be a famine for bread. Velo tzama l'mayim. It won't be a famine. People won't thirst for water. Kim l'shma es devar Hashem. That people will yearn to go ahead and hear the word of Hashem. Then Abba say, the way, now when we read that pasuk, it sounds so beautiful. People won't want bread. They'll want Torah. But the way the Gemara understands it is that just like in a famine, there are certain things you want, but they're not accessible. When there's a famine for Torah, there'll be a desire for Torah, but yet Torah won't be accessible. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, "Veno miyam ad yam." Literally, it would journey from sea to sea. Umitzafon vad mizrach. From the north all the way to the east, Yeshota to Levaki Yeshis Dvar Hashem Lo Yimtzu, right? And they'll go to try to find the word of God, and they won't find it. Dvar Hashem, what is this word of God? Zu Halacha. Dvar Hashem, Zuaketz. They'll try to find Halacha, they won't be able to find it. They'll try to find, when is the Mashiach going to come? They won't be able to find it. Dvar Hashem, Zu Nevua. They'll try to find prophecy, they won't be able to find it. Umay Yeshota to Levaki Yeshis Dvar Hashem. What does it mean that they'll journey to find the word of God, but won't be able to find it? Amru Asida Isha Shetika Kika Shel Truma. Omen will take a loaf of truma, the tachzor bebate knesses bate midrashos, and she'll walk into the shuls, she'll walk into the bate midrash, leida im tmeahi, din tahorahi, and she's going to try to find out about the laws of tuma and tara regarding truma, and what's going to happen, ve'ein mevin im tahorahi, din tmeahi, and no one will be able to understand, no one will be able to answer her. So Gemara says, why not? Behedjik sidbe. But the laws of Tum and Tara regarding Truma are explicitly stated in the Torah. Mikala Ochel Asher Ye Ochel. right? The pasuk says explicitly that halacha lemaisa, right? That again, that pasuk is actually by tumah sheretz, right? So the Torah thinks about the laws of tumah. So why is no one going to know the laws of tumah? So the Gemara says, no. Ela leita im rishonahi ve'im shniyahi ve'im mevin. What's going to happen? She's not going to be asking whether or not the truma is tamei or tar. That people could answer. But what is she going to be asking? Is the loaf of truma a rishon or a shin? So remember, we know that in tuma there are gradations. So her answer question is not going to be about tamei tar. Her question is going to be about a more nuanced question. Is it a rishon? Is it a sheni? And no one will be able to answer. But she says, I don't understand. Why not? Hanami masnisin hi. But that in and of itself is also, these halachos are stated explicitly in the Mishnah. Kivisnan hasheretz shenimtza bitanor. If you have a sheretz, a rodent, in a tanor, inside an oven, hapas shevesocho shnia. If you're baking bread in the oven, the bread itself is a sheni. Sha tanor tchila, because the tanor is a rishon, therefore the bread is a sheni. So why wouldn't people know the halachos of a rishon or a sheni? It's explicit in the Mishnah. Mistafkaluhu hada amar le rav adabar ava le rava. Because again, there'll be masupak about the statement or the conversation of adabar ava and rava. What happened to adabar and rava? Lichsiye hai tanura kiman de maletuma vetehave pas rishona. Because of adabar ava said to rava, I don't understand. We should view the oven as being filled with tuma, and therefore again, the bread shouldn't be a sheni, but the bread should what? The bread should be a rishon. Because if the oven is filled with tumah, then it's like the bread is directly touching the sheretz, and the bread should be a rishon. Amrlei, Rava responded, Lo amrina le lechsi haitanur kiman demale tumah. We don't say that. Disanya, yacho yihu kol hakelim mitamin ba'avir kli cheres. You might have thought that all utensils should become tumah, from the airspace, just like a kli cheres. Tamud lomar, kol asher besocho yitma mikola ochel asher yiachel. It's only food that become tame within the airspace of a klicheres. Ve'in kelim mitamin ba'aver klicheres. But utensils themselves do not become tame if they are within the airspace of a klicheres that has a sheretz in it. So also the point that Gemara is making over here is that in the future, you're right. What's going to happen is when they say that there's not going to be a Torah knowledge, that it's not talking about the things that are explicit. Of course, the things that are written in the Torah, we will know. And the things that are written in the Mishnah, we will know. So what's going to be the tzom? What's going to be the famine in the future? The nuances of halacha. Like this particular halacha, is the loaf of bread that's in the oven, is it a rishon, is it a sheni, machlokes rav adabar ava and rava, those are the things in the pre-messianic era, which will be times of incredible difficulty. That difficulty will result in the loss of, or in the temporary absence, or temporary knowledge of the nuances of halacha, and that's what it is that the Nabi is mourning. We'll continue Rez Hashem tomorrow. Let's continue in this.